Well, thank you, Jesus. We're grateful that we get to be in your house and in the sunshine all at the same time. I pray, Lord Jesus, that today our hearts will be filled with your Spirit and tender and able to actually understand, Holy Spirit, what your word is trying to tell us. Sometimes your word is not easy, and this may be one of those times for some of us. Lord, I pray that you'll touch my heart and continue to change me and convict me and grow me up. Thank you that you're so willing to love us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. You're just such a good God. Amen. So Romans 12:17, it's kind of about evil and perception is the way I'm looking at it. And how do we look to everybody around us when we respond to evil? And the concept of evil is actually in Scripture, and it exists. If you've never encountered evil, then I don't know who you are, because it's available somewhere around you. It sometimes is in us too, is a problem. And how do we react to evil and be perceived properly by everyone around us? And that's kind of where I'm going to go. I'm using a lot of Scripture today, because our mandate is to preach the word and love the people, and this is the preach the word part. And part of loving you guys is to preach God's entire truth and get the full counsel of God from Scripture. So as we look at this verse in the New International Version, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if we just stop there, it's like that could be taken a lot of different ways. If I'm going to try to do what's right in the eyes of everyone, and you know, I'd be a good politician. You go take a poll, and it's like, okay, what's right and wrong here? Well, that's not what this is saying. Okay, and it can sound like that if we're not careful. So I kind of, in this case, prefer the ESV or maybe the NASB. There's a lot of other translations that I feel like got closer to it, but I don't know that any of the English translations are 100% as close to God's Word as we would like them to be. So that's where, you know, as good students of the Bible, I want all of you to go into Scripture and look at it and measure it, you know, one Scripture against another. There's verses that talk about not doing things for the benefit of those people around you, like the hypocrites will go and they'll pray in public and try to get everyone to think what great, wonderful people they are, or they'll give alms very publicly so that people will see them, and so there's some caution in Scripture where we're not to be doing things in a showy way so that other people will notice us, and yet there's still also the Scripture about, well, let your light shine before men that they can see your good deeds and glorify God. So, you know, we have to put all of that together in a balance. And when we look at Scripture, sometimes if we just pull one little piece out, we can go off in a direction that's not intended by the whole counsel. The English Standard Version, repay no one evil for evil. That's not much different than the NIV. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And some of the other translations, carefully reflect on your actions and how they will be perceived. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at this translation from the Greek. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know how to read sources of Greek scholars and what they think and see. And this really is something about, you know, when we respond to evil, what are the people around us going to think of God, going to think of our relationship with God and how we respond? If we're encountered with somebody does something terrible, and that does happen. I mean, bad stuff happens to people, and if we see that, I'd like to think, you know, well, I can have righteous indignation. I can be angry and sin not. I can do all these things that Scripture says. And yet, more often than not, my response in the flesh, in my own understanding, is going to come in such a way that I'm actually allowing that evil to dig into me and maybe create some root. And you know, when we start having anger, it can turn to bitterness real quickly. And, and roots of bitterness can turn to fits of anger and wrath and all kinds of things, or it can go another direction. We can look at it and say, well, I'm sure glad I'm not like that person. And then we can start having pride, and there's so many subtle little ways that when we are encountering bad stuff around us and we see things that are clearly not scriptural happening, it's real easy for us to take the wrong tack and go in a direction that's going to do harm to not only ourselves, but our reputation and to the reputation of God's family. So this is one of those beautiful things. And, you know, Paul is trying to tell us in Romans to be careful. You know, he's not saying you'll never have to worry about evil. He's saying evil's going to be there. But don't repay evil for evil, because if we do that, if we see something evil and we respond with evil, it escalates and it makes things worse. Have we ever had that problem as married couples, where one person says something and then we respond in a way that well, but you, and then we come up with past history or whatever else, and we can make relationships worse. We can make all kinds of things worse by responding in the wrong way. Ephesians 6, we went over this for a long time. Just verses 11 and 12 in that full armor section. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, one of the devil's schemes is to try to get us to turn on each other. It's like he wins. Okay, you know, divide and conquer kind of thing. Sometimes there's a purpose for that, and it's a good thing as far as a strategy. But when it's the devil's scheme and he's dividing Christians from loving each other, dividing couples from loving each other, families, church members, that's one of his devices that he uses to try to tear the church apart, to try to take away the power of oneness. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So when we are encountering evil, if we choose to respond with evil, we're actually playing into the hands of Satan's schemes. Romans 12:9, so chapter 12, and just a few verses before today's verse. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now, when I see the word hate, I usually think of that as a very negative thing. And yet there's a place for it. Hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. It's like, okay, don't become evil against evil, even though. It's how do we hate in a loving way? You know, that there's some hard words in Scripture, and making a stand, making sure that we're not just being wishy-washy and going along because the poll says that people will like us better if we have this opinion or this attitude towards this particular sin. You know, sin is only bad, right? If it's a sin that we've already conquered. If I haven't conquered the sin, then I can make excuses for it. But if I've already conquered the sin and it's not something that I'm tempted with or something that I'm prone to, I can just talk about what a terrible sin that is. That's why so often in churches you get a list of don'ts. I don't know, what was that old saying, you know, about not going with, not smoking. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. And, you know, there's all these kind of things that come up with ways to belittle others for a sin that we're not tempted towards. But then if we have a temptation to pride or arrogance or whatever else, you know, gossip, those sins can be easily just forgiven, because the gossip's probably you're just sharing prayer requests, and the pride is because you actually are better than everybody else. You know, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am and stuff like that. So it's what we can find rationalization for the sins that we're prone toward. And yet, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Like somebody does you wrong, what's your first reaction? Well, I'm going to get them. I'll show them. Maybe we'll do it in a passive way. You know, some people are really good at passive aggressive. Others are better at just in your face aggressive. And yet, you know, it says make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Mark 7 and verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus speaking. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. This is there was a conversation going on where the Pharisees, the religious leaders were trying to be real concerned about what people were eating and what they were consuming, you know, and basically Jesus kind of threw it out there. It's like, you know, whatever you eat, that's not going to be what defiles you. A person is defiled from within. Out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So if we're going to fight evil with evil, we're falling into this trap. And yeah, most of those I can look through and say, well, no, that's, I don't have a problem with that or that or that. Well, most days not with that. And you can kind of, you know, take an inventory, but there's something in there that every one of us has a tendency towards at times. Proverbs, in chapter 20, verse 22, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will avenge you. Of course, later in Romans, we're going to find the same thing, that God's vengeance is his and not ours. If we try to get even with somebody because of something they've done to us, we're trying to play God. We're trying to take God's job, and we're not nearly as good at it as he is. And in fact, his first inclination is, can I draw you back into the fold? Can I find a way to restore you? You're not willing for restoration? Well, there will be judgment, you know. When you read in John 3 where, you know, God loved the world so much he gave his son to die for us. But it's like those ones that choose not to believe, they're condemned already. If you know, God doesn't have to condemn them. They condemn themselves by rejecting salvation, by rejecting God. And so, you know, this concept of I'll pay you back for this wrong, we need to get that out of our head. And that other thing about, you know, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. We mess up with other people too. Do you want them paying you back for what you've done or said? Proverbs 3. We're probably most familiar with 5 and 6. But this is 7 and 8, and then later I'm going to have 3 and 4. So if you want to read that whole section, feel free to go to Proverbs chapter 3. It's a beautiful little section, and it's very wise sayings from Solomon. But this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. How does that go together? That's not different concepts. There's a semicolon there. Fear the Lord and shun evil is a way to not be wise in our own eyes. If we're wise in our own eyes, guess what? It implies here in this verse that's evil. If we think we're know-it-alls and we've got it all together, that's a form of evil. We need to fear the Lord and shun evil. Shun this self-wisdom. If we do this, if we fear the Lord and shun evil, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. How many people do we know that can get sick with anxiety over stuff that they can't control? Or they can be very upset and bothered by other people's behaviors to the point that their obsession causes them physical ailments. How many times have people that were really torqued off at somebody else done more harm to themselves than they have to this other person who's walked away from it and forgotten it a long time ago? You know, what we carry around inside is going to have something to do with whether we have healthy body nourishment to our bones. Chapter 26 of Proverbs. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. And if you read through Proverbs, you're not going to find a lot of hope for the fool, by the way. This isn't saying be foolish and that'll be a good thing. No, it's a comparison. This is bad, but this being wise in your own eyes, that's even worse. Proverbs 21. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. So we can even deceive ourselves. So when we're told that we should not repay anyone evil for evil, we should be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. We may be deceiving ourselves into what this looks like and why it's okay. Wasn't sure when I started going into Matthew, the whole Sermon on the Mount, you know, from 5, 6, and 7, all those chapters, very appropriate and fitting towards the concept of how we can train our minds and what we should be thinking about and doing and where do we store up our treasures and you know, who can we trust and what's really important and what's not important. All those things that they come into there and who's blessed and who needs to rethink what they're doing. And you know, Jesus gives this beautiful sermon that we have access to. But in this section of it, do not judge or you too will be judged. If we're going to take seriously, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Honestly, one of the ways that we repay people when they're evil towards us, we judge them. And our judgment can come from a self-righteousness because we're thinking that we know better and these people should be more like us. But in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I've found that oftentimes when I see a problem with somebody else, Kathy sees that same problem with me. Or I should see that same problem with me if I look in the mirror. You know, there's some people that think I shouldn't drive so fast. One of them was a state trooper that gave me a reminder this week. $108 reminder that I shouldn't drive so fast. And he was kind and gentle and he's doing his job and I respect him. But I didn't want to hear from him. Well, he said he clocked me at 67 in a 55 zone. I don't think I was going that fast, but he wrote it up for 60. He was showing me some grace. And I know I was going at least 60. So I might have been going 62, but not 67. But, you know, there's the other side of it too. Kathy got tires, winter tires a couple years ago, and we're still driving around on those. And it used to be 72, 73 miles to go down to Monroe and back. And now it's 62 miles. So I'm guessing that the speedometer probably is not giving me a real accurate reading as we're moving along, thinking I'm going 65, might not be 65, 60 might not be 60, that sort of thing. Whatever. Reality is, we try to judge other people for all the things they're doing wrong. One of the things I do when I'm driving around is I critique all the other drivers and think that I'm a better driver than they are, and you know, why don't they all drive like me and be more considerate? And then I get a reminder that you're not quite perfect in that area either. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's this plank in your own eye? Can you picture that? You've got this big old plank and you're trying to help somebody, but every time you turn your head, you're smacking him in the head with your problem that's bigger than his. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Matthew 5, part of that Sermon on the Mount again. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. You know, people are watching. They're paying attention. how do we respond to others when bad things are going on around us? We need to let the light shine. You know, you're going to overcome evil with good. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. In 1 Peter, this guy Peter had some issues at times. Sometimes he thought he had to correct Jesus. Sometimes he, you know, pretended he didn't know Jesus. I mean, he had problems. And yet God just kept on loving him through all of this. And as he became the basically founder of the Christian church and wrote some letters to other Christians that were scattered around the world, live such good lives. This is a piece of information, a piece of advice he gives us. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. If our actions are above reproach, people still might accuse us of things, but eventually the truth comes out. Proverbs 3 again. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So, I'm going to close. You know, I know when we see words like evil, that's not usually where we start thinking of, oh, that's talking to me. You know, I like to think that word evil goes more with devil and everybody else outside of me. Everybody that's not part of God's family. And yet, Scripture's not written necessarily to unbelievers. They can certainly benefit from it and read it and learn from it. But the bulk of Scripture is written, and when you look at Romans, it's addressed to Christians. It's addressed to followers of Jesus. It's addressed to us. And when Paul says, don't repay anyone evil for evil, he's like, yeah, I know that we as followers of Jesus have a tendency to encounter evil and feel like we need to rise up against it. You know, the concept of fighting fire with fire. And there's an appropriate place for that, and we are supposed to hate evil. I mean, if you take the full counsel of God in Scripture, evil's not something we should embrace. And that's why the second half of that verse, be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Well, if we do that, in the world right now, a lot of people are embracing sin. They're embracing evil. And they would like us to join with them. They want to be affirmed in their wrong choices, in their anti-God choices. And I don't think we need to do that to follow this verse. I do prefer the concept of give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. People are watching you anyway. Do what's honorable. Do what's right. Make choices that are going to honor God. Don't make the choice based on your own understanding. Don't make the choice based on the poll that might be taken to see, okay, which way is the wind blowing this week. We can watch. I mean, one example is in Afghanistan right now. 2 weeks ago, nobody thought that the capital would fall. And this morning I hear they basically have given up and the government has left Afghanistan. We're getting as many people as we can out of there. We're trying to move our embassy to the airport for a temporary embassy to protect and do what we can do as we're flying out of there. We don't know which way the wind's blowing. You can have experts telling you anything about any topic. If you don't know who the experts are, they'll tell you. Okay. And that's in the religious world as well. How do we give thought to what we're doing and make sure that as we act, as we respond to evil, are we doing this in an honorable way that's going to lift up the truth the way, the life. It's going to lift up Jesus. And I think we need each other for that too. We've got to be willing to take correction from one another. Sometimes we take correction from people outside the church. I don't know if the state patrolman goes to church or not. But if we need correction, God will find a way to bring it to us. And if we resist, he'll find a little harsher way maybe to bring it to us. Hebrews says that you know, we should feel honored that our Father wants to discipline us. That's part of how he shows love. You know, if parents aren't disciplining their children, if they're not disciplining, teaching, training their children, it's not loving. To just tell kids, yeah, you can run the roost, you can do whatever you want. That's not a loving thing. Setting boundaries, setting limits, giving guidance, all of those things are important. And so when we are encountered with evil, how do we respond? And is it in a way that we've given careful thought and checked with Holy Spirit to find out, you know, is this the right thing to do or not do right now? Thank you, Lord.